This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to fabulous and interesting women about a variety of subjects. I'm Yvonne O'Brien and my lovely co-presenter today is Doreen Pipe. Doreen, long time no see.
Well, long time no working with you, my love. It's great to see you, here, too, Ivana. Hon. And also, it's lovely, we've got two fantastic guests in today. And I have to say, one of them is probably, she's my favourite because she's brought food.
I can see why she's your favourite from here, actually.
There's a lovely dish of food and we'll find out a little bit more about that later on, because our first guest is Alana Dandilu and our second is Sarah Singleton. Now, they both have totally different careers. Sarah is the lovely lady who's brought that beautiful food in and it's sprinkled with gold dust. But Alana is actually going to be talking to us about style, and it's sustainable living in style, which is new to me, Ivana.
Fantastic. I mean, let's face it, the two of my favourite subjects are food and fashion, and we've got both guests talking about that today, so it's all good. So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Alana Dandilu, founder of Image and Style. Welcome, Alana. Before we talk a little bit about what you're currently doing, can you just tell the listeners a bit about what's brought you to this point, a bit about your career background?
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me to your show, actually. It's great to be here. So this is actually my second career. My first career was as a holiday consultant, creating very exclusive holiday packages for individuals and small groups, and that was back in Athens, because originally I'm a Greek. I moved to England 12 years ago when I got married and started my family, and after that I became a stay-at-home mum. The kids were growing, they were different ages but really small. I loved staying at home with them, but I longed to do something for myself. So in order actually to save time getting ready in the morning, I would go through my wardrobe ever so often and try to streamline my clothes so that I have ready-made outfits and get myself really and quickly ready and release some of the free time in the morning to get everybody else ready and out the door.
You sound like such a rare person. Most women are running around circles going, get those clothes on there, and then throwing stuff on themselves. So this is quite an interesting story, isn't it, Ivana?
Yeah, so I think that's because of this need I had. I thought, that's something that I quite like in the end of the day to do, going through my wardrobe maybe now and then. So I started talking about it with my friends, and because they were quite positive, I had quite positive reactions from them. This gave me the confidence to decide to create, to start my own business.
Which was Image and Style, is it?
Image and Style, yes.
So tell us a bit about what's involved in Image and Style then.
So I offer, exactly that. So I offer wardrobe detox services. So I come to your, I go to women's houses, and we have a little chat about their lifestyle and, what they want to, what their goal is for this, out of what they want to succeed out of this session. And then we go through their wardrobe. We take all their clothes out.
Heaven see your face. I can see your
yes.
face. Does this
it's
last
horror?
Can it go on like into the weeks, days, months? Because I think if you came to my wardrobe, that's probably how long it would take.
Yes, I mean, I have been to women's houses that they actually have three wardrobes.
Only
four wardrobes.
Only three.
Well, yes.
And the husband's probably
plus
got about a foot.
The husband's there, not even a half a wardrobe. And actually, I have received emails from husbands saying, thank you so much. You emptied the whole wardrobe for me. I can't thank you enough. You need to come back again next season.
Well, I would probably be saying, empty the whole wardrobe of my husband's stuff as well. You shouldn't do to yourself what you don't want to do to others, in my view. And yeah. Tony could do that.
What a great job, though, to go to people's houses and be able to, because sometimes you can't see what's literally under your nose.
You can't.
Until
yes.
someone points it out to you.
Yes.
I have this really bad habit when I go shopping of buying the same thing over and over again. And I get it home and my husband says, you've got three of those in your wardrobe already. Why have you bought another black pair of trousers? Why does that happen? I don't understand why.
Well, I can give you a tip from now, and this is to always make a wish list before you go shopping and try and stick to it. This way you will know exactly what, you know, your wardrobe lacks, and then you buy the things that you actually need, so you don't buy, you don't get, and end up buying double and triple the same clothes.
Is it similar to sort of going shopping and then buying things you've already got in your fridge, and you come home and think, well, I've already got that, I've bought that again?
Exactly the
same concept.
Exactly. You know, I see women, they always have their shopping list when they go to their supermarket, but they will pop in next door to the clothes shop, and then without any list will just go and buy whatever they see, you know, and they
but most
like.
Most women kind of find that therapeutic, don't they? Oh, I just think I'll have a bit of a shop.
Yes.
And I do. And I'm off and running. And the good news is, and I don't know where you are with this, Ivana, but both the boys left home. And we've got several empty bedrooms, so I've filled those up with clothes as well.
Yeah.
I do occasionally throw things away, but the word is occasionally.
Yeah.
And Tony was saying, he said, how many cardigans do you need? And I thought, I won't own up, but he has a point.
Because yeah. They say, is it roughly, if you haven't worn something for 18 months, that it needs to go? I mean, I'm going to put my hands up to this. I had a pair of trousers that I had in my wardrobe for 20 years. The challenge was to see if I could still get into them. But actually, that's really bad, because probably after 18 months, they should have gone, shouldn't they?
Yes. It's better to have the clothes that you actually wear, you know, for the season and for the size that you are currently. You know, otherwise, if you keep hold on to things that to clothes that either they are too small for you or too big for you, then chances are, first of all, if they're too small, they always make you miserable because you can't get into them. And if they are larger, then you would think, okay, I can knit a little bit more because I have this pair of trousers that are a size or two, you know, bigger, and I'm okay.
So I suppose in an ideal wardrobe, how many items would be hanging up in it?
Yes, that's it, very interesting, actually, because if you think in the 1950s, women used to have about 35 items in their wardrobes. So from then to now, an average woman has about 120.
Ooh, wow. So about four times as much,
yes.
Just under four times
and
as much.
And really, our lifestyle hasn't changed much. We still, you know, work, we go out, socialize, and we have the weekends for our casual outfits. So why, you know, I wonder, do we actually need so many clothes in our wardrobes?
I have to ask this question. You don't have to mention any names. Don't name any names. But what is the most that you've managed to remove from a house from doing one of these detoxes in terms of black sacks?
Well,
you haven't
I think
been to my house yet.
Yes, no, I think it was. It was very honestly. I think it was seven.
Oh,
yes.
Seven.
Oh
yes.
My goodness.
Yes. And there were. And you know, this lady had very expensive handbags, amazing shoes that they were all hidden at the back of the wardrobe, never used, you know, in the lovely little bags that they come with, protector bags. And what happened is we created space for the clothes that she actually wears most, her favorite clothes, and also space, a little display for all her lovely Chanel, you know, handbags and the lovely boots and the lovely shoes that she owned, plus extra space for her husband's shoes, which the poor guy, he had to have his shoes downstairs, under the stairs, in the cupboard.
Oh,
so,
bless.
Yeah.
Well, poor man. My husband is, and always has been, very keen on clothing. And I always know when there's a guilt element in what he's bought, because he puts the word little in front of it. I've just bought a little pair of shoes. I've just bought a little. And you just know he doesn't need it.
Mm.
And he admits that by this word little. I don't ever admit it. I just buy things that I want. But I'm not into designer labels. I do find that quite frivolous. Now, I perhaps that is a false economy, because if you bought a decent pair of trousers or jeans, you know, then they presumably would last longer.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. I can't stress enough how much worth is buying good quality clothes. Mm. We, you know, in my industry, we have a term, we say cost per wear. So when you buy a pair of trousers that cost £100, you will wear them many, many, many times. So if you actually divide the times you wear the pair of trousers with the amount that you actually spend, it comes to very little per day.
So going back to the 50s and the women having about 35 items, in an ideal situation now, if you go into someone's house, Eleanor, how many pieces of clothing in total should they have? Roughly.
Yes, that's another interesting question. And actually, thank you for asking me this because...
A bit scared of the answer, to be honest.
No, I don't have these kinds of rules. You know, generally we say, yes, streamlining your wardrobe. It's best to have less than more because it's less daunting when you open your wardrobe in the morning and see a plethora of clothes inside. But really, my approach to styling is, you know, I discuss with the lady, and then we kind of keep the clothes that are really close to her heart. She feels good in them, yeah. And even if they are, I don't know, 50 clothes. I mean, I never count how many clothes I leave behind when I finish a session, because it's. It's not about rules, it's about breaking the rules, but actually feel confident to break the rules.
But do you ever have any women hanging onto your legs as you're removing the things from the property, so literally clinging to them? Has that ever happened?
Well, sometimes they will say, oh, you know, I have a friend that I think she's the same size with me, and I can give her these clothes. And I know that they probably keep on, you know, hold on to these clothes. But at least they, you know, they have made the first step of letting go the things that they see themselves, that they don't really work with their body and with themselves, with their appearance.
Oh, this is all riveting stuff. We're now going to have a short ad break, and then we'll be back to talk to Eleanor. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Are you tackling a DIY project? Are you unsure about what you need? Would some expert advice come in handy? Then head on down to Fetcham Home Hardware at 226 Cobham Road, Fetcham. We are a family-run business based in the community and offer a really friendly and knowledgeable service. We know that you will be amazed at the comprehensive range of products on offer for DIY and the home. You'll find tools, paints, cleaning materials, light bulbs, heaters, kindling logs, coal, our very handy key-cutting service, and lots more. And if you mention you have heard this ad on Brooklands Radio, you will receive a 10% discount on the spot. So whatever your DIY or home requirements, visit your very own Aladdin's Cave. Fetcham Home Hardware in Cobham Road.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons, one in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Sunday afternoons between 2 and 5? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their expertise. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Sunday on Brooklands Radio between 2 and 5.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Well, we're back again with the lovely Elena. And after you've emptied these wardrobes and you're now armed with several black sacks, tell us what you do with these items of clothing.
Yes, so... If my client is happy in the end to let go of these clothes, then I will keep them as a stock for my walk-in wardrobe events.
And what are these, Elena? Because this sounds quite fascinating. It's a huge wardrobe that someone's going to walk into. It sounds like Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, in a way it is actually. It's it's like a clothes swap events. But with a twist. So it's not like some Swissing events where you go, you pay for entrance, and then you have to have the exact amount of clothes with you in order to exchange and swap with the clothes that are there. So what we do is we charge a ticket, and then you can come in having clothes, your pre-loved clothes or not, it's not necessary. But our rule is that you have to try on the clothes before you take them away. And you can take away as many clothes as you like, as long as they fit you.
Do you pay for these clothes?
The way we actually have this stock is from my clients, from people that they know that we do these events, and they are happy to give us their pre-loved clothes. Just to say a few statistics. Through the years that I'm doing this, my colleague Daisy Schubert was the, this walk-in wardrobe is her brainchild. She created it, and she's been doing this in London for the past 2 years. So I'm bringing these events now in Surrey. What we've seen is that you don't actually have to sacrifice style in order to build a more conscious wardrobe. If you think that clothes can take up to 40 years to decompose, and shoes up to 1,000 years.
What are these things
to break down? Yes, because they are, all the materials are plastic, are all man-made, so they don't break down. And 95% of the textiles can actually be recycled. Then that is the main issue with the clothes, that we can always recycle them, we can reuse them, and this is why we're doing these events, because first of all we like to find a place, a home for these clothes, and second of all there's always a talk about sustainability and ethical fashion, so we try to educate women as to how to make more mindful choices when they buy clothes.
If Ivana and I were to go out for a girls' night out and walk into one of these events, so we would pay for a ticket and then we can look through the rails of clothing. Ivana will go for that black pair of trousers.
My next question is going to be when and where is the next one, Eleanor?
Right. So the next one is in London on the 18th of March. It's in Baskerville Steel Shop, which is in Palmer's Green. It's Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. And you can buy tickets through Eventbrite. So just type walk-in wardrobe and you will find the event in Eventbrite. And the next one in Surrey, which I'm hosting, is on the 24th of June, again Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m.
Doreen's writing furiously there.
I think I'm even in the country.
So the ticket includes, the access to our stock of clothes, a short presentation on sustainable fashion, cakes and, a glass of bubbly, a lot of smiles, welcoming atmosphere and very sociable, very sociable a couple of hours.
What a great idea, though. I think it's such a good thing to do. And what happens with the clothes, say, at the end that aren't taken away? Do you take away your own clothes or does it go to a charity shop?
Yes, we give them to charity, a named charity every time. Yes.
That's really good.
I think it's a great idea because I'm heavily into recycling, and this is just a totally new concept to me. Is it to you, Ivana, this idea of recycling fashion that we might wear rather than going down the clothes bank or sending it to...
Exactly, or buying the same thing again and then going home and find you've got it already. So I think it's, I think sometimes it's just good to have a fresh outlook on what your wardrobe is.
I think the word is fresh, and that is exactly what's coming to mind.
I suppose my only fear would be I'd buy my own clothes back.
Well, this is another aspect very interesting to see your clothes, because what we do is we collect your clothes. If you bring clothes at the event, we collect them, we put them in the hangers and put them out. So it's very interesting to see your clothes and who's trying on your clothes and how they look on a different person. That's another,
because obviously, as you say, different body shapes, different heights, different weights, things do look different on different people, don't they? That's the key. So
You make, with your clothes can make another woman quite happy and pleased that she found a little treasure. So,
well, I think making the planet happier is a tremendous... I've never heard of this before at all.
Yes.
It's a lovely concept.
Yes.
And that's where your sustainable living in style comes in, and the nice little green sweater that you've got on your logo there.
Yes.
Really interesting.
Yes, I mean, also through my work, I try to promote ethical retailers that pay a decent wage their employees, and also organic textiles, eco-friendly textiles and shoes as well. So I have a list of all these eco-friendly retailers which I share with my clients.
So we've talked a bit about the walk-in wardrobe events, Elena. Tell us a bit about your own image and style. So, some of the levels of service that you provide. You've talked a bit about, being a personal stylist for people, but are there different levels that they can come in at? Because there's workshops that you do as well, isn't there?
Yes, I do workshops as well, but I try to now give an offer more services online, because what I've noticed is, we're all so busy. We run such different and very busy lives. So it's not easy for people to, pinpoint down a date and then, yes, I can make it for definite. Whilst the online courses or workshops are, rather webinars, if it is online, are more flexible. They can register. They can be when the online is live, or they can receive the recording at their house.
So, what sort of things would the webinar include?
It will be mainly focused on how to find your style. So. And meaning how to dress more authentically for yourself.
Now I'm intrigued, Doreen.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued because, obviously your body shape changes over the years, isn't it? And, the styles that you had done, your colours that you had done when you were in your 30s may or may not be the same as they are.
Skin tone might change.
Yeah, the skin tone, makeup, colours have changed from the shades you were
wearing. So what does authentic mean specifically? When you say
authentic mean... to dress for yourself and what message you want to convey to people, to your friends, to your colleagues, because every time you actually you dress, you convey a message.
I dread to think what she thinks the message I'm giving out.
It's lovely, very simple and classic. That's the message you're keeping.
Future reference.
It's interesting you say that, because I remember this woman telling me that she used to work for the BBC, and every time she went in a certain colour suit, and it was a red suit, the security guard on the door would say to her, "Who's getting fired today?" And she didn't even someone was getting fired, but she didn't even realise actually that colour for her was like a power suit.
Power dressing,
so interesting.
So, yes, there's different levels on, for career women, how to dress to convey this message, or for women that want to get the job that they are applying for. So I had a lovely friend of mine, and she's very bubbly and lovely, but she wanted to, she had an interview, and... it was in a very traditional environment, for a traditional school, actually, as a teacher. So she had to look the part. She had to look as a, head teacher or head of the department that she wanted to the job for, not as a lovely, bubbly teacher.
In a onesie.
A class, yes. So yeah, I helped her actually, yes, and I gave her some advice, and actually she got the job.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
that's a lovely way to kind of wind up our interview, isn't it, Ivana? Because I know we want to get some details out of Elena for how people can contact you. So would you like to give us your website and how everyone can get in contact, Elena?
Of course, my website is imageandstyle.co.uk. Email elena@imageandstyle.co.uk. Very simple. I don't know whether Ivana, would like to? I have an offer for your listeners.
Oh, lovely! Tell us please more.
So, if they email me after today or yourself here at the radio, then I will send them a wardrobe basic checklist. So, what you need to have, the basic items you need to have in your wardrobe.
Well, that sounds useful, doesn't it? Fantastic. Really brilliant. And very kind. Thank you very much, Elena.
Thank you.
So that was Elena Danilidou from Image and Style.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Yes, hello and welcome back to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien, and our lovely Doreen Pipe. Our next guest is Sarah Singleton from Nibblicious. What a great name, Nibblicious. I do love that. So before we talk about what you're currently doing, again, what's brought you to this point? A bit about your career history for the listeners.
Hi, Ivana. Thanks for having me on the show. I've spent the last 25 years building up a really successful career in marketing, and I absolutely love marketing. And I've worked for big companies, small companies, I've freelanced, I've worked locally for some really specialist super businesses. And I just got to the age of 50, my birthday last year.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for last year. And I'd become increasingly, I suppose, dissatisfied with my life, with my commuting, with the stress, with the pressures of trying to juggle family, feeling guilty all the time about working late and travelling abroad and all those sorts of things, which I know lots of women feel. And so I was away celebrating my birthday, and I made a promise to myself that I would change, because my motto is, there's only me to blame if things go wrong, all right? So I decided that I would follow my passion, follow my dream, and do something that involved cooking, because that is how I relax. When I would come home from work, I would really take pleasure in creating a beautiful meal, simple, not necessarily complicated and loads of ingredients, but beautiful, simple, fresh ingredients, lovely food that was tasty, and that's how I wound down. So I decided that I would give up my career and take the big leap into the unknown and have a go.
That's very, very brave.
Isn't it?
Very brave.
Brave or foolish, I'm not sure. But yes, brave, actually.
You tell us. So do you think it was brave or do you think it was foolish? How are you feeling now that you've been doing Nibblicious for a while?
I've been doing Nibblicious now for just under a year, about 9 months. I have never felt better.
You look really happy. If I look across the studio, I'm looking at a smiling woman.
You look happy because you know there's a plate of chocolate cake in front of you, Doreen. That's why you're looking happy.
I do. I feel much happier. I'm definitely less stressed. I don't have eczema anymore, which was a symptom of stress. I'm sleeping better than I've ever slept in my life, really. I walk the dog. I'm at home with my son who's just gone to the ACM in Guildford, so I'm around to be at home for him and give him the support he needs. I'm just enjoying a different pace of life, and I'm loving creating some fabulous food for friends and family, which is my motto.
And what I loved about what you said a couple of minutes ago was that word simple, because often what puts a lot of women off cooking is, especially dinner parties, it's this notion that it's got to take hours and hours and hours, otherwise it's not going to be anything worth eating. When you said simple, I thought you're just literally singing my song.
Yeah, I would agree. I really focus on using the best quality ingredients, And I think that has to suit your budget. I don't think you have to always buy organic if your budget doesn't allow you to do that. But if once in a while you can, then go for it. And then do the very best you can with those special ingredients. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, try not to cook too much. You know, don't overfill people's plates. Don't offer too many choices. And make sure you shop sensibly so that you use up what's in the fridge. And the more you get used to looking in the fridge and deciding, oh, I could make something with these ingredients, and you put them in front of you, well, you can then Google, what can I make with, you know, tomatoes, bacon and eggs, for example. Sure. And that will give you some ideas. And it is all about having the confidence to... just be creative, really.
I think actually the interesting thing there is, you know, that you can buy really good ingredients really, really cheap at the moment, because a lot of the supermarkets are undercutting one another. And I was in a named supermarket in Wiltshire. Sounds ridiculous, but I was. And I was amazed to see that you could buy 6 different vegetables for less than £3. And I thought, well, if you can't feed a family on that lot, and that would have been, you know, it was parsnips, cauliflower. Obviously, we're looking at lovely cakes here, but you do the dinners and the lunches. But that's cheap. I can't think of any other word to use. It's not just reasonable, that's cheap. But the quality was very good. So everybody can do these simple meals.
Absolutely.
If you put your mind to it.
You know, if you think about how much a TV dinner would cost, and you perhaps times that by 4 if there's 4 of you in your family or whatever. You're spending a lot of money then on processed foods that are high in sugar and fat that we know are not very good for you. Yeah. But if you go back to basics and you look at, you know, having, you know, a good proportion of vegetables on your plate, trying to stay meat-free once or twice a week is a good idea. Trying to cut down on processed foods, it isn't difficult to do. It really isn't. And your budget, your family... food budget will go much, much further.
You mentioned that you source your ingredients locally. Where do you go to, like, farmers markets, or do you go to how do you do that?
I do go to farmers markets. I'm lucky. I live in Guildford, and there's a great farmers market in Guildford every Tuesday of the month, first Tuesday of the month. I try and go there if I can. I love just going to local delicatessens, and I'm a great believer in the power of social media and Facebook. And in fact, all my business so far has come pretty much from word of mouth and through Facebook. And there was a guy in my village who is an artisan baker, and he's just set up baking bread. How wonderful to be able to walk, you know, 2 or 3 houses down the road and buy some fresh bread in the morning, and actually supporting each other in that sort of community way, I think is really great.
A super idea, it really is. I have to say that the food here, although Ivana's saying that I love cake, I am not a great cake eater, but that was absolutely delicious. But what I did like...
All the more for me then, Doreen.
Well, absolutely, and Graham lurking in the background is now coming forward for the chocolate again. Those raspberries just look really lovely, because I'm one of those people who find fruit a bit boring.
Yeah, I think presentation of your food is really important. So, yeah, I've sprinkled some gold dust over the chocolate. It's a caramel chocolate tort with fresh raspberries. Really, really simple to make. Made with organic rich chocolate, green and black chocolate, and some lovely fresh organic raspberries. You know, it's quite simple. But I think fruit sometimes can look a bit boring. I think if you know how to present your food nicely, and you think of different ways of serving food, if you think of how you can cook an apple, for example, there are many ways to cook an apple. So just do a little bit of research, look online, or give someone like me a call.
We were saying before we came on air, Ivana, that there's a lovely thing on here. Want to improve your cooking skills? Lots of people do, but student and teenager cookery classes. Yes. We particularly like the sound of this. Tell us more about this one.
Well, my eldest son, Tom, he is at university. And before he went to university, in fact, with both my boys, but particularly because Tom was leaving home, I really wanted to make sure that they knew how to cook for themselves healthy food on a budget. I know they're not going to do this all the time. I'm well aware that they can get some great student deals and some curries and takeaways and all the sorts of things
McDonald's.
That students love to do. But there are times when they will need to think about what they're eating and to still eat healthily as far as you can make them. And I'm really proud to say that, you know, Tom and my other son, Charlie, that they can create some good curries. They cook with fish. They don't live on a diet of pot noodles and pasta. They like their vegetables. They'll cook all sorts of things. And, you know, I think it is just about making sure your children have some very basic skills that, and they know how to adapt them. So if you teach them how to make a really good bolognese sauce, well, that can become a shepherd's pie or a cottage pie. It can become a chili. It can become something with pasta. There's lots of different ways of having one meal.
So do you do many of these courses with teenagers and students, or do you think it's a growing area that you'd like to get into more?
I've had lots of interest, definitely, and the people I have helped so far have really taken away some good skills, some good tips. You know, I'm not worried about how well they can use their knife for chopping and that sort of thing. It is about just having at your fingertips some really good recipes.
Can I just share with you a quick story about that? Because my daughter's currently at uni. She said one of her friends, she came home from a lecture one day to find one of her friends trying to fry some dried pasta. I'm wondering why it wasn't cooking properly.
Is it time for a break on that?
Yes. I think on that note, we're going to go to an ad break. So stay tuned and we'll be back to talk to Sarah soon.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Do you need an accountant or a part-time financial controller who understands your business problems and is willing to work with you in the here and now, rather than telling you what you did after you did it? You need to talk to Goddard's Accountants. Goddard's will deal with the hassle, leaving you to expand your business. And, as we've been in our business for some 40 years, you know you're in good hands. Phone us on 020 8941 2187 for the expert advice you require. Goddard's Accountants, West Molesey. We take away your pain so you get the gain.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country, or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack, and ship it all.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Well, welcome back to Just Women with me, Doreen Pipe, and of course the lovely Ivana O'Brien. And we're talking to Sarah Singleton from Nibblicious and that lovely plate of food which is in front of me. And we're finding out a little bit about these classes which she offers to students and teenagers. Now, obviously, going off to university, mum is no longer cooking the meal, and the bank of mum and dad is a little bit depleted when you have to look after yourself. So do you find that in your own experience that coming back, you're seeing them eating better food? They are actually listening to what you say, are they?
Yeah, most definitely, yes. I think children, you know, students these days, they are more aware of the importance of good food. Not all of them, you know, eat junk food. Not all of them like junk food. Well, I know one of Tom's housemates at the moment, she's vegetarian, and she alternates between going fully vegan as well. So I made for her some little bliss balls, which is raw fruit. So these were apricots, dates, pistachio nuts and raw chocolate bonded with coconut oil, and you roll them into little balls, and they're like health bursts. And you just keep them in the freezer, and so they'll last for quite a long time. And you take two or three out, and then, you know, you can have them in the evening as a little snack. That's because actually I made Tom some homemade sausage rolls to take back when he went back to university, some really lovely proper sausage rolls. And he felt really bad he couldn't offer any to his friend. So the next time he came home, I sent him back with some of these little bliss balls. And you can make all sorts of things like that. And yeah, I definitely think the health message is getting through.
I noticed from your bio that it says, we're welcome to visit your kitchen anytime. So how are you fixed Friday, Sarah?
You're very welcome to come round.
Get the kettle on with you there, won't we, Doreen?
Yeah, I'm not doing anything this Friday. I could pop round with you, Yvonne. And do you do all the cooking at home?
I do, yes. I set up my business to Nibilicious, and you have to register with Guildford Borough Council. So I have been inspected by the council, and I have received a level 5 hygiene rating, which is really important. It did mean actually that I could go out and buy myself some lovely new pots and pans and all sorts of kitchen gadgets that I've sort of lusted after for a long time. And I do all the my cooking from home. Perhaps if I'm going to somebody's house to cook in their kitchen, like, for example, if I'm doing a private dinner party, there are certain things I can prepare and take with me in advance, and then I would finish off and get the dinner party ready in people's own kitchens. So it's like having a chef in your house, except I'm not a chef. I'm just a mum with a passion for cooking.
I love it. It's just anything. I think what you do is amazing. It's great.
But I'm not a qualified chef.
But then the Hairy Bikers did a series called Mum Knows Best. And in fact, they did a cookbook on it. Mm. And I totally agree with that. You know.
I think, actually, if you've got a real love for what you do, that shines through in how you do it. I read cookery books as if they're novels. I love to research about food and dishes and where they come from, and I love to follow some of the great chefs we have around at the moment.
That was my next question. Who do you look up to? Who are some of the chefs that you aspire to be like?
I love to watch Marcus Waring. I think he's just amazing. I love MasterChef, but you know, he's just got something about him which I think is really quite sexy.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. I like Jamie Oliver. I like to see what he's done. And I think he's a great champion of good food. I love Nigella. I like cooks who aren't...
My husband likes Nigella as well, funnily
so
enough.
So does mine. I like cooks who aren't afraid to just have a dollop of something rather than carefully measuring things out, because I think that's what restricts people to have a go in case it goes wrong and you don't really know how much to use or whatever. So I like cooks that are a bit more, let's have a go and see what this turns out like sort of approach, as opposed to somebody who's very specific about the way they cook.
And do you like food that's gone around the globe? I mean, does that interest you? You know, abroad?
Yes, definitely. My sister lives in Malaysia, so I've experimented a lot with some of the types of food that you get out there, and I've been lucky enough to visit her several times and go to the street markets out there and eat all the street food, which is fabulous, and then come home and think, well, I'm going to try and make that or whatever. So I love that. I just think there's such a great variety of dishes these days, and pretty much anything can go with anything. I mean, I made a chili the other day, and I made it with proper chunks of braising steak, and I used some wonderful chilies that I then marinated in coffee, and then I added to that chocolate.
I just knew she was going to say chocolate. I just knew.
Yeah,
this woman is a latest friend of yours, isn't she?
No, it's kind of a thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yes,
chili and chocolate.
Chili and chocolate.
Yeah. And dark chocolate.
Oh, yes,
dark
Tony chocolate. Was given some as
I mean,
a
the Mexicans would do that quite normally in their cuisine. It's, I guess, over here we wouldn't do that, you know, readily. But the flavour of the chili, along with the smoked paprika and everything else that went into it, was absolutely delicious. So, yeah, definitely learning from what other people do around the world is always fantastic.
So you mentioned, obviously, the workshops that you run for students and young people, and obviously that you go to people's houses and do dinner parties. So tell us a bit about how those services go then, Sarah. What sorts of things you do? Just, you know, does someone say they want a supper party and they want 10 people and you go over and do it? Or how do your services run?
Okay, so as I said, most of my business so far has come through word of mouth or through my Facebook page. My website is under construction at the moment. And I believe very much in talking to people about the type of food they like, the type of food they like to eat, the type of event they're visualising. If they want something quite relaxed and informal, then the food has to go with that type of occasion. If it's a funeral, the food has to go with the occasion and be appropriate.
Sure.
So I will always go and visit my client and sit down and talk things through with them and get an idea of what they like, take some little samples of things with me so they can see the type of food I prepare. And from there, I would then devise a menu for them or work with the ideas they've already got. They might say, I would really like to have beef Wellington, but I don't know what to have with it or as a starter or as a suitable dessert. So I would help put the menu together and then I would either prepare that menu and take it to them and allow them to sort of finish it off and to say, here's your dinner party all
and
prepared
cheat.
For you. And cheat, you can say it's yours if you want, I don't mind. Or if they'd like me to stay and help prepare it and dish it up and make it all look beautiful on the plates and the platters, I can do that too. Last summer I did a lady's, it was her daughter's 18th birthday, and she had 50 family and friends over for a special celebratory birthday lunch. And that was great fun putting that together because the daughter knew exactly what she wanted. So we had salmon and asparagus. It was a beautiful summer's day. And I made a lovely birthday cake with fresh flowers and cream and strawberries, everything that she loved. But I managed to create it all for her. And then I turned up with pretty much everything ready to go, some lovely canapés as well that I prepared, and served that up for them for their family and friends, and that was lovely.
Do you know what shines through, Sarah, is looking at you. You're right when you said when you made this decision to change your career, you
it's
absolutely shine when you're talking about your business.
It's your passion.
I'm really happy. Thank you. I'm so happy doing what I do, and I just want it to be successful, but I don't want it to become impersonal because I really believe that good businesses and people who run good businesses connect well with their customers. They know who their customers are. And it's important that you don't lose sight of that. So I always want to keep it personalised, special, delicious. So for me, fabulous food for friends and family sort of sums up
great tagline.
My approach to cooking. And the name Nibblicious actually came from it was like one of those shower moments where I was desperately trying to think of a great catchy name for my business. And I kept saying to myself, oh, delicious nibbles. And then it just became Nibblicious. And of course, I was able to buy the domain name for my website and create a logo that reflected my personality as much as my love of food. Mm. And let's hope it just carries on being successful.
And whilst you're talking about the logo, we are sadly coming to the end of this interview.
But just one last question. Where would you like to take the business moving forward, Sarah? What's your vision for the future?
My vision for the future is, at the moment, it is just to get a really good reputation for my business locally, sort of I guess within the Guildford and the sort of surrounding sort of Weybridge, Cobham, Chobham, Godalming villages. And I think from having a good reputation and from having a steady following, the business will grow, definitely.
That's great. And have you got any advice that you can give listeners that, you know, people out there that want to cook but a bit afraid, you know, can't cook, won't cook, or can't cook, don't know how to cook? Any sort of advice for them?
I would say don't be frightened. Just give it a go. There's loads of cookery programs on television, and YouTube is great. I mean, I've picked up some fabulous tips just by watching some YouTube videos about how to do things. So you're never too old to learn, and nothing is ever
There's
wrong.
There's hope for us yet, Doreen. That's what she's saying.
Nothing is ever wrong. Just give it a go and enjoy food. Enjoy food because it's there to sustain us and it's there to be enjoyed.
Brilliant.
Will you give us your website as well so people can get in contact?
Yes, do. www.nibblicious.com or Sarah with an H at nibblicious.com. And if anybody would like to give me an email and drop me a line or get in touch via my Facebook page, I'll be happy to have a chat with you and maybe help you prepare some great food.
Thank you, Sarah. So that was Sarah Singleton from nibblicious.com. We'd like to thank both our guests today's show. That's Eleanor Donnelly-Doo from Image and Style and Sarah Singleton from Nibblicious.com, and also thanks to my lovely co-presenter Doreen Pipe.
Well, thank you, Ivana. As ever, an absolute joy being with you. And that's just to say, we're always very, very keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. And that's all of us. Everybody has a fabulous life in this studio, and we've enjoyed listening to two people telling us about them. So if you know someone you think would like to be on Just Women, do get them to email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and hopefully we can get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Ivana O'Brien.
And it's goodbye from me, Doreen Pipe.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.